jak taja ognica. Oj, jarna, jarna, jak taja orlica. Najmy sa ustupiť, hej, hej, najmy sa ustupiť, hej, hej, najmy sa ustupiť, spúľa parádnica, spúťa parádnica, spúľa robitnica, spúťa parádnica, spúľa robitnica. Ой, я така гарна, гей-гай, ой, я така гарна, гей-гай, ой, я така гарна, як в небі зірниця. Шли, гей, гай, як за мном хлопці шли, гей, гай, як за мном шли хлопці, як весняні хмари, як за мном хлопці шли, гей, гай, як за мном хлопці шли, гей, гай, за мном шли хлопці, як за мном шли хлопці, як весняні хмари.
And from Mission, BC, that was Boris Sikhon and a traditional Ukrainian folk song, Oy Harna Ya Harna, I Am a Dark-Eyed Beauty. Добрий вечір і вітаю вас всіх, шановні радіослухачі, на радіопрограму «Наш голос» Радіо Українського коріння. При мікрофоні Павліна, дякую, що рішили перебути зі мною наступну годину. Hello there and welcome to Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio here on AM 1320 CHMB Vancouver. I'm Pavlina, your host. Thank you so much for joining me. We've got a great program lined up for you. Sylvia Molnar will be along with an Easter-themed recipe, so get ready. That's to help you get ready for the upcoming Easter celebration as well. Renata Hanenets will be along with Ukrainian Jewish Heritage, and she'll be talking about another location in Ukraine. Once had a very vibrant Jewish population. As well, Volodya Volkov from the Jewish Heritage Museum as well will be presenting some thoughts on the consequences of the Crimean takeover by Russia. So stay tuned for all of that. As well, our usual proverb of the week, other items of interest, and great Ukrainian music. And coming up next is a group from Ukraine called Madheads and a fairly recent release called Ukraina Tseme. Ukraine, that's us.
Ще на світі край багатий, щедрий меланами. Чисті води, ліси, гори, всього вдосталь є. Люди різні тут живуть, та щось є поміж нами, що тримає вкупі, розлучитись не дає. Гей, брате, руку давай, разом зі мною співай. Україна! Багатий світлими серцями, сильних рук, голів розумних не бракує нам. Ми робити вміємо і бути хазяями, з радістю і горем не лишати сам на сам. Гей, брате, руку давай, разом зі мною співай. Україна єдина, красива і сильна в мирі і любові до своєї землі. Україна, це ми. Є на світі край багатий щирими піснями, гарні тут дівчата і хлопці молодці. Хай луна весела пісня селами, містами, хай живуть душа у душу і рука в руці. Гей, брате, руку давай, разом зі мною співай. До карпатських схилів, від солоних хвиль морських до витоків Дніпра, все, що є на цій землі, твоєму серцю миле, ти помножна силу любові і добра. Гей, брате, руку давай, разом із нами співай.
The foresight and generosity of its donors, the Taras Shevchenko Foundation has been investing in the future of the Ukrainian-Canadian community for the past 50 years. Since 1963, the Taras Shevchenko Foundation has been funding initiatives that strengthen our Ukrainian-Canadian identity and enhance our Ukrainian-Canadian cultural heritage. These include fine and performing artists and arts groups, museums, cultural centers, education, as well as authors, journalists, and the Ukrainian-Canadian media, including this program. The foundation strives to become the premier not-for-profit foundation in a Canada which acknowledges the Ukrainian-Canadian community as a fundamental component of Canadian society. Nash Holis listeners are encouraged to support this vision through continued donations into the future. To apply for grants, make a donation, or for more information, contact the Shevchenko Foundation at 204-944-9128, toll-free 1-866-524-5314, or visit shevchenkofoundation.com.
For the cost of a cup of coffee a day, you can give a destitute family in Ukraine food, hope, and a better life. Please open your heart and share your good fortune. Sponsor a Ukrainian child today. Details at www.heart.ca. That's HART.ca.
Don't miss the 19th annual BC Ukrainian Cultural Festival, Saturday, May 3rd in Mission. Non-stop dance competitions all day featuring dancers from all over BC and Washington State. Cultural displays and demonstrations, traditional arts and crafts, live musicians, and of course, delicious Ukrainian food. Festival times, 8:30 a.m. till 6:30 p.m. Tickets are $8, $5, and $1. Don't miss the 19th annual Ukrainian Cultural Festival, Saturday, May 3rd at Heritage Park Secondary School, 33700 Prentice Avenue in Mission. For more information, visit www.bcucf.ca.
Конопель, 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 кон його спіймаю, журавля.
Я його спіймаю.
Я його спіймаю, журавля. Журавля, бля, 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 журавля, бля, 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 журавля, бля, 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 ой, я журавля. Журавля, бля, 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 журавля, бля, 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 журавля, бля, 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 ой, я журавля.
Не ходив би,
не корив би, не топтав би коноплю.
Не ходив би,
не корив би, не топтав би коноплю. Коноплю, бля, 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 коноплю, бля, 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 коноплю, бля, 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 ой, на коноплю. Коноплю, бля, 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 коноплю, бля, 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 коноплю, бля, 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 ой, на коноплю.
And another group from Ukraine, that was Otvinta and Zakurela Baba Zhuravlya. And coming up next from Montreal, Cheremshina from their CD Postishka Khmri, Along Paths of a Dream. Here they are with Ukraino, Song for Ukraine.
Між зорями в'ється стежина,
And now, Ukrainian Food Flair with Sylvia Molnar. Tips for Ukrainian cooking.
Hello. Horseradish, called hryn in Ukrainian, is grown for its pungent roots, which are generally grated, then mixed with vinegar and salt, before being used as a condiment or relish. The root itself has little aroma, but when cut or grated, volatile oils are released. These are very irritating to the mucous membranes. So when grating fresh horseradish, proper ventilation is crucial. Freshly grated horseradish should be used immediately or mixed in vinegar, as once it's exposed to air or heat, it will darken, lose its pungency, and turn bitter. Mixed with vinegar, it will keep for several months refrigerated, but once it begins to discolor, it's time to replace it. Horseradish is believed to be indigenous to Eastern Europe, which is not hard to believe since it is so popular in the Slavic world. However, horseradish has been cultivated since antiquity. In Greek mythology, it was considered worth its weight in gold. Horseradish was known in Egypt in 1500 BC, and a mural in Pompeii shows the plant. More recently, it was used as a medicine during the Middle Ages and as a condiment in Germany, Scandinavia, and Britain. It was brought to North America during colonial times. 1 tablespoon of horseradish has only 2 calories. It is low in sodium and provides dietary fiber as well as great flavor. This recipe for horseradish sauce is traditional at Ukrainian Easter and equally delicious any time of year. To make it, you will need 6 tablespoons grated fresh horseradish, 2 cups sour cream, 2 teaspoons salt, 2 tablespoons sugar, 2 tablespoons vinegar. Mix all in a glass bowl. Adjust seasonings to taste. Let stand at room temperature for 1 hour before serving so flavors can develop. This makes about 3 cups. Try it. It's Ukrainian.
Thanks, Sylvia, for sharing your Ukrainian culinary expertise on Ukrainian Food Flair here on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio.
Кажу, де квітне дивний сад, де срібляста ніч тремтить у темних водах, у далекий край лежить нелегкий шлях, доки хижа ніч кружля по колу. Не спи, моя рідна земля, прокинься, моя Україно, відкрий свої очі у світлі далеких зірок. Все дивляться з темних небес, загиблі поети й герої, всі ті, що поклали життя за майбутнє твоє. Два шляхи, один веде у пекло, інший шлях веде тебе туди, де світ. Щоб знайти цей шлях, послухай своє серце, твоє серце знає, як його знайти. Не спи, моя рідна земля, прокинься, моя Україно,
відкрий свої очі у світлі далеких зірок. Це дивляться з темних небес загиблі поети й герої, всі ті, що поклали життя за майбутнє твоє. Я тобі повім про мрію золоту, що палким вогнем горить в моєму серці, про щасливий край, про радісних людей, де життя кидає виклик смерти. Не спи, моя рідна земля, прокинься, моя Україно, відкрий свої очі у світлі далеких зірок. Це дивляться з темних небес загиблі поети й герої, всі ті, що поклали життя за майбутнє твоє. Не спи, моя рідна земля, прокинься, моя Україно, відкрий свої очі у світлі далеких зірок. Це дивляться пильно з небес загиблі поети й герої, всі ті, хто так вірив у світле майбутнє.
From Ukraine and the Orange Revolution, with a song that's certainly still very apropos today. That was Mandre and Не спи, моя рідна земля. Don't sleep, my native land. And now, Ukrainian Jewish Heritage, hosted by Renata Hananets in cooperation with the Jewish Heritage Museum in Lviv, Ukraine. This special Nash Holos feature is brought to you by the Ukrainian Jewish Encounter Initiative based in Toronto, Ontario.
Добрий день. This is Renata Hananets at the Faina Petrekova Scientific Center for Judaica and Jewish Art in Lviv, Ukraine. Zolochiv, a town located 60 kilometers east of Lviv, was at one time a thriving Polish-Jewish-Ukrainian town. Then, in just 3 years, its Jewish population perished in the Holocaust. The Jewish presence in Zolochiv dates back to 1565. For centuries, Zolochiv was home to numerous artisans, tradesmen, and notable rabbis. They lived throughout the city and were instrumental in its political, economical, and social development. With the outbreak of the Second World War, large numbers of Jewish refugees fled from Western Poland to Zolochiv. But then the town was occupied by the Soviets, who deported many of the refugees to the interior of the USSR and conscripted young men into the Red Army. At that time, an estimated 10,000 Jews and another 10,000 Poles and Ukrainians lived in Zolochiv. Before the Soviets retreated in 1941, the NKVD, Stalin's secret police, murdered several hundred civilians and buried the bodies in four mass graves. Many were Ukrainian nationalists, along with some Jews and Poles. After the Nazis occupied Zolochiv, they blamed Jews for the murders and a pogrom ensued. In just 3 days, more than 3,000 people were killed. 2,000 of them in front of the Zolochiv Castle, the site of the NKVD earlier mass murder. In December 1942, the Nazis established a ghetto, housing roughly from 7,000 to 9,000 Jews. By April of 1943, Most of its inhabitants had all been taken outside the city, shot and buried in mass graves, many of them still alive. In August, 2,700 Jews were herded in cattle cars and sent to the Belzec death camp. In a second mass expulsion in November, 2,500 more died. Many Jews went into hiding, but were hunted down and killed. On July 18, 1944, the Red Army liberated Zolotiv. By the end of the war, there were no more than 200 Jews left. Most fled immediately. In a New York Times article published in 2006, a Holocaust survivor who was a small child recalled that horrific time. We survived through the unimaginably courageous acts of good people. Millions around us were passive. Hundreds of thousands collaborated, but thousands of Ukrainians helped Jews survive. Among those were Metropolitan Andrei Sheptytsky of the Greek Catholic Church, his brother Clementi, and the good teacher Mykola Duke, who hid us in the unlit attic and then a storeroom of his village schoolhouse for 15 months. The writer took his family to Zolotiv to remember, to put the horrors of the past behind them, and to commemorate the Jewish life that once thrived in Zolotiv. The Hasidic cemetery in Zolotiv was created in the second half of the 16th century. The last known Jewish burial was in June 1941. During the Second World War, the cemetery was vandalized and the stone synagogue built in 1724 was destroyed. Today, the local municipality now owns the property. There are no visible tombstones and no mass graves. The borders of the cemetery have shrunk considerably, as some of the land was appropriated for commercial and industrial use. In 1995, Jewish community groups from across Ukraine and the diaspora fixed the walls and gates. Now, occasionally organized individual tours and Jewish private visitors stop by. On July the 23rd, 2006, Jewish and Ukrainian community leaders dedicated memorial to the 14,000 Jews of Zolotiv who perished during the Holocaust. Those include a monument in the Zolotiv Cemetery and a plaque on Zolotiv Castle, a memorial plaque commemorating those killed by the NKVD prior to the Nazi invasion was also unveiled. Despite the horrors of its recent history, Zolotiv is a beautiful town. Please come visit, remember, and celebrate the memory of what once was and what we hope will once again be in the future. This is Renata Ganenets at the Faina Petrikova Scientific Center for Judaica and Jewish Art in Lviv, Ukraine. Until next time, Shalom.
Thank you, Renata. Щиро дякую. Join us again next week for another episode of Ukrainian Jewish Heritage here on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio, brought to you by the Ukrainian Jewish Encounter Initiative.
Ви слухайте українську радіопрограму «Наш голос» на багатомовній радіостанції AM 1320 CHMB у місті Ванкувері.
Янчик, Янчик, чорні очка, підем разом до поточка, до поточка синього, нам привичка. Янчик, Янчик, малювачик, що ти зробив нашій Янці, вона мамі повідала, що все тяжко. Дівчата
up-and-coming young singer and her entourage. That was Anastasia Voychuk from Ukraine and a group called Cherry Band from a recording that they made when they were on a Canadian tour in actually not too long ago, just around the Christmas holidays. And that song was Yanchik. Coming up next is Dovira from Toronto and Oiche Tokin Stoit, whose horse stands there.
This is Volodymyr Valkov at the American-Ukrainian Bureau for Human Rights and the Fina Petrakova Scientific Center for Judaica and Jewish Art in Lviv, Ukraine. Today I would like to talk about some of the possible implications of Putin's intervention into Crimea. There will be many costs to Putin's regime as a result of Russian intervention into Crimea. First of all, Russia can no longer be considered a reliable partner. from now on, Ukraine will be particularly distrustful of Russia as a neighbor. The anxiety in the hearts of the vast majority of Ukrainians, especially the younger generation, will be there to stay for decades to come. This will leave a huge dent in the Soviet doctrine of brotherly connection between Russia and Ukraine and in the modern Russian doctrine of common Slavic values. Another fallout emanating from the forceful occupation of Crimea can be the weakening of the foundation of the international system, because the failure to enforce the 1994 Budapest Memorandum on Security Assurances will signify that the solemn guarantees given by the great powers carry little value in practice. If Russia fully annexes and cements its control over the parts of the Ukrainian territory, including Crimea, the international system of strategic checks and balances will fall apart. We won't have to wait for a very long time before various rogue and authoritarian states will create their respective justifications to, for example, acquire nuclear weapons or annex certain territories. The invasion of Crimea by the Russian Federation has already consolidated the Ukrainian society. Moreover, the concept of what constitutes the Ukrainian identity has started to become much more inclusive. Thanks to the emphasis that Russia is trying so hard to put on the existence of a threat to the Russian language and culture in Ukraine, the overwhelming numbers of Ukrainians began speaking publicly about their support for the shared concept of Ukrainian identity that includes all national minorities living in Ukraine. This will further solidify the Ukrainian society. At the same time, the current concept of national identity in the Russian Federation is becoming increasingly exclusive. Putin's Crimean affair will also considerably precipitate Ukraine's integration with Western democratic institutions such as NATO and the European Union. Ukraine will need to join those institutions in order to ensure its complete withdrawal from the Russian sphere of influence. Back in 2008, around 40% of the population of Ukraine viewed NATO as a threat. Some of the most credible polls back then confirmed this view. Since Russian incursion into Crimea, there hasn't yet been a formal survey of public opinion regarding Ukraine's accession to NATO, but several largest media outlets, including Union and TSN, recently conducted online surveys. The results are striking. Between 70 to 79% support the move to join NATO and about 62% support accession to the EU. This stands in contrast to the 2010 survey that showed 51% of the population in favor of the EU. If some parts of the Ukrainian population, especially the communists, or those who strongly identify with the Soviet nostalgia, will continue to fiercely oppose it, Ukraine will have to work hard on building a capable military of its own. But in a globalized world, and under the circumstances of limited financial means, the likely choice will be in favor of collective security. The world has been shocked by the blatant and unprovoked aggression of the Russian Federation against Ukraine. Russia's effective occupation of the Crimean Peninsula has ushered in a new geopolitical reality in Europe. In this new reality, no country can be completely safe. Can such exclaves of Russian influence as Crimea or Transnistria be considered neutral to the national security interests of the other European states? If Ukraine becomes a prosperous state, this will provide Europe with a possible antidote to the Transnistria-like problems and Russia's imperial ambitions in general. A successful and independent Ukrainian state will serve as a convincing evidence that democracy works. This will encourage other breakaway regions in the Russian sphere of influence to reintegrate with their original homelands, or at least to step out of the Russian backyard. What good is there really for Putin in making Ukraine an ever more corrupt or even failed state? Wouldn't Ukraine as a successful trading partner be more profitable even for Russia? Soviet Union brought Chernobyl to Ukraine. What will Putin's Russia bring? On the other hand, can Putin help create a successful Crimea? In fact, he is neither interested in nor capable of bringing prosperity to the peninsula soon after Crimea becomes a Russian satellite, similar to Transnistria. Disenchantment of the local residents and perhaps even insurgency led by the Crimean Tatars are likely to follow. After the pro forma referendum on March 16, 2014, or better to say, an outrageously fabricated political action aimed at justifying Russian annexation of Crimea, the only minorities facing a palpable threat are Ukrainians and Crimean Tatars. More than a week prior to the fake referendum, Crimean Tatars, the Crimea's indigenous people who strongly support Ukraine's territorial integrity, issued a plea for an intervention by the United Nations. Ivan Simonovich, UN Assistant Secretary General for Human Rights, reported just a couple of days before fake referendum that there were already many Crimean Tatars, Ukrainians, and even Russians leaving the Crimean Peninsula and becoming displaced people. Putin's KGB training means that his main concern will always rest with power politics, not the real well-being of his own countrymen, and certainly not of those in the neighboring states. Has Russia brought growth to Transnistria, Abkhazia, South Ossetia, Nagorno-Karabakh? The message of Russia's foreign policy is loud and clear, assertion of its superiority in what it treats as its backyard. Relationship with Russia is never a mutually beneficial one. Decisions are never collegiate. Putin and his ruling elite want the near abroad to be subservient. The Collective Security Treaty Organization and Customs Union are designed with this purpose in mind: to bring about Kremlin's military and economic domination over the post-Soviet space. The key difference with the Soviet Union is that Russia will not be responsible for any of the damage to the societies in the nominally independent countries that are going to get trapped in these structures. Weak Ukraine gives some sort of glory to Putin's accomplishments in Russia. It serves as a negative model for comparison to his Russia. Putin believes that by making Ukraine smaller, Russia looks greater. Deteriorating Ukraine justifies Putin's management style and Russia's need for a powerful, authoritarian, and an iconic statesman. But during Putin's 15 years in office, has modern Russia really achieved progress? Is it any less a kleptocracy than the Soviet Union? Is its population much wealthier or healthier? Russia's population, in fact, has dropped from 148.9 million in 1993 to 142.6 million in 2013. True, people in Russia live somewhat better, relatively to the 90s after the breakup of the Soviet Union. But this modest improvement is abominable when considering the lost opportunity, the degree of the living standard that normal Russians, not the yesterday's communist and Czechist elite, could have had by now. Kremlin is more interested in keeping the masses sated just enough to keep them silent and obedient, allowing Putin's clique to continue their astronomical self-enrichment. Today, this complacent clique is severing Russia's ties with its formerly friendly neighbors and wrecking relations with the euro area, which, according to the World Bank, is Russia's most important economic partner. The costs to Putin's conquest of Crimea are many, although so far they don't seem to deter the new Russian Tsar. What could be some of the benefits, then, for Putin to draw from the creation of an independent Republic of Crimea? For some part of the Russian population, the situation in Crimea will divert their attention from domestic problems and dark economic prospects back at home. In Russia, this issue will occupy most headlines and stay in the top for a couple of years. For some Russians, Mr. Putin will appear as a national hero. A major avenue or square, perhaps, in Crimea will be named in Putin's honor to celebrate Crimea's reunification with its historic motherland. Crimea will serve as a military reality show to engross Putin's electorate. Unfortunately, for those living in Crimea, it will be a horror movie, a catastrophic reality. Kremlin can expand the ruble zone and add another 1 or 2 million people to its population. Crimea's gas and other raw materials and mineral resources will go to Russian companies. Crimean population can become a source of cheap labor force to build dachas around Moscow, while new Russians will purchase the rest of the seashore in Crimea to build their fourth and fifth villas. Certain dictatorships around the world, such as Syria, Iran, and North Korea, will admire Russia for challenging the West. They could form some kind of an evil alliance to fight against the hegemony of the United States. Putin will probably try to offer incentives for the Crimean population to resettle to the Russia's Far East or to Siberia to counteract the demographic and economic influence from China there. Russia might be able to build up forces and even set up missile defense systems in the satellite regions to counterbalance the US missile defense plans. Russia has already become uncontrollably dangerous. Since December 2007, Russia has suspended the Conventional Forces in Europe treaty, disallowing data exchanges and inspections. Does the world really know the extent of Russian weaponry? After the Anschluss of Crimea, Putin can continue to exert destabilizing pressure on Ukraine through the pro-Russian groups located in Ukraine and the Ukrainian communists in order to impose federalization and neutrality on Ukraine. If this project succeeds, then Ukraine's integration as a whole into Western institutions will be impossible. Has Mr. Putin really lost it? Putin's Crimean affair promises to have a debilitating influence on the international system and Russia itself. Swallowing parts of Ukraine through unprovoked aggression and questionable pretext will surely create more temptation for other authoritarian states to act in similar ways, including against Russia. That is why the Crimean crisis cannot and should not go unanswered. Sovereign guarantees of territorial integrity and inviolability of borders can truly degenerate in their meaning. Russia, a multi-ethnic and multi-confessional state, has put Russian ethnic nationalism at the core of its foreign policy, which leaves many states vulnerable to the same interventionist arguments that we are now seeing at play in Ukraine. The secession of Crimea from Ukraine that is being orchestrated by Russia and its unidentified armed men is a direct analogy to Hitler's Anschluss of Austria in 1938, which also involved a referendum. It is ironic that just like Hitler in 1936, Mr. Putin embarked upon the annexation of another state after hosting the 2014 Olympic Games. Hopefully, Putin will remember that the important thing is not to win, but to take part. It seems that Ukraine, long considered by some analysts as a centerpiece to completing modern-day Russian Empire, is in reality becoming a key to the unraveling of Putin's regime, or at least to an irreversible disillusionment with Putin's foreign policy goals. Volodymyr Valkov, in Lviv, Ukraine.
And that was the Key of Pops from a recording put out by Torontos.com Recordings. And that was a traditional Ukrainian marching song, an old patriotic tune. Oyna hori tam zhinsi zhnut.
Here's what's coming up this week in Vancouver's Ukrainian community.
On Wednesdays, catch Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio broadcasting live from Nanaimo to North and Central Vancouver Island, the Gulf Islands, the Sunshine Coast, Northwest Washington State, and Greater Vancouver. In our new two-hour time slot, 11:30 a.m. till 1:30 p.m. Pacific Time, Wednesdays on CHLY Radio Malaspina, 101.7 FM on the radio dial and streaming online at chly.ca. You can get the links to the podcast for both the Nanaimo and this Vancouver edition at www.nashholos.com. Contact TV airs on multicultural channel Omni 1 and on Channel 8 on Shaw Cable Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. with a repeat broadcast the following Monday at noon. If you have announcements or story ideas you'd like aired on Contact, please email them at studio@contact.ca. That's studio@contact.ca. And at 5 p.m. Sunday evening, slip your radio dial right back here to AM 1320 CHMB Vancouver and join me for another hour of fun here on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. In between broadcasts, you'll find upcoming events, program information, audio archives, podcast feeds, and much more at www.nashholos.com. Ну, ми вже скінчили нашу програму, вже час додому висказати до побачення. Але перед тим я хочу залишити вас такими словами мудрості. Той, що думає мало, говорить багато. And our proverb of the week translates as, he who thinks little talks much. Well, that just about wraps up another program here on Nash Holos Ukrainian Roots Radio. Do join us on Wednesday for more at 11:30 on 101.7 FM, broadcasting live out of Nanaimo. As well, if you'd like to catch our podcast of this program or any others, just go to our website, www.nashholos.com, and you can find the links to both editions there as well as other information. So to wrap things up, we've got the Playboys from Edmonton and Freddy's Kolomeka. I'm Paulina. On behalf of all of us here at Nash Holos and AM 1320, thanks so much for listening and Dobranich!
Вчора аж до рання Любка ще хворила, впала п'яця на білого Любка та ще здела. А їхав я він у пейгу Любку купувати, а там пана дівчинку гів ще торгувати. А Маришка там горула, як попродувала, а я її попросив, де вона торувала. Як почала торувати, бізом робити, а я рушив я її за щетку і купити. Трошка п'яна була, кумось дала, та й забула. Тепер ходить і шукає, кумось дала, та й не дбає.